I think I've always been a bit of a science geek. I can still clearly remember the joy I felt when I got my first chemistry kit in elementary school. Most of the books I read in middle school were of the science fiction or fantasy genre. And yes, I'm embarrassed to admit that I was one of the multitudes of adolescent girls that dressed up as Princess Leia from Star Wars for Halloween back in the late 1970s. So you can probably imagine my excitement when, in 2007, I came across a YouTube video entitled "The Lord of the Immune System, Return of the Phagocyte." This was put together by a young guy from Canada. While the video is very funny, it was a bit confusing and didn't go into too much scientific depth. But it did get me thinking about just how good the Lord of the Rings trilogy is as an analogy for the immune system. So I expanded my young Canadian friend's idea, and I came up with the following story to describe one of the most complex and fascinating parts of our bodies. If you have neither read the Lord of the Rings books nor seen the movies, let me set the stage for you and give you a bit of background to help you understand this analogy. The story is a quintessential battle between good and evil. There are many different kinds of evil creatures in the setting of this story, a pretend place called Middle-earth. There are goblin-like creatures called orcs, evil humans, trolls, and other terrible beasts. Their goal is simple: to destroy all of the good creatures in Middle-earth, noble humans, elves, dwarves, and good wizards. Towards the end of the last book in the trilogy, there is an epic and final battle where the good characters are defending their last fortress, Minas Tirith, the capital city in the land of Gondor. This is where we begin our analogy of the immune system. Imagine this huge fortress. If you have access to a piece of paper, you can draw a big circle in the middle of it to visualize the fortress. You can place the good characters that I mentioned inside of your circle, while the bad guys can be placed outside of the circle. This is the setting of our battle, and the circle itself, representing the walls of the fortress, is a first line of defense against invaders. Just like our skin is part of the first line of defense for our bodies against germs. Outside of the fortress, or circle on your piece of paper, there are different evil invaders trying to get in. Imagine that the trolls are disease-causing bacteria. The ugly orc creatures are nasty viruses. Evil men from the east are protozoa, which are single-celled eukaryotic cells that cause diseases like malaria. While the terrible ringwraiths and their beasts are like parasitic worms. The various types of armor on these bad guys is a lot like what we call foreign antigens, little molecules like proteins on the surface of various microbes that the immune system tries to target. While the high walls of the fortress are the first line of defense for the heroes in the Lord of the Rings, you also have a part of this line of defense, catapults, bows, and arrows. These are like tears and other antimicrobial secretions from our bodies. There are also antimicrobial chemicals that circulate within our bodies. These include interferon and complement, both of which act non-specifically, targeting anything foreign that enters the body. The many soldiers of Gondor are like macrophages, who do their best to gobble up any microbial invader that penetrate the first line of defense and cross their paths. At one point in the story, a huge cavalry, horsemen from the distant land of Rohan, appear in massive numbers and mow down many of the bad guys. I liken the horses of Rohan to processes in the body, like inflammation and fever, that help control infection. And now it is time to introduce a few specific heroes in our story. One of the most pivotal characters in the story is Aragorn, the rightful king of Gondor. In one of the most suspenseful parts of the novel, Aragorn travels deep into a haunted mountain to recruit an army of ghostly traitors. Aragorn symbolizes B cells in our bodies, whose job it is to create an army of antibodies, represented by the ghostly traitors. Antibodies, special, highly specific proteins that attack certain antigens, are one of the most effective ways of attacking invaders in the body. The human body can create an almost infinite number of different types of antibodies to fight infections. Other heroes in this story include Gimli and Legolas, two powerful warriors that directly attack the various evil creatures they encounter. These two guys are a lot like cytotoxic T cells, which directly attack and kill both virally infected cells and cancer cells. Hobbits. These are very small, brave creatures from a remote location in Middle-earth, and they are also protagonists, kind-hearted characters with an important role to play. While they are, for the most part, too small and weak for direct combat, they do many important things that help turn the tide of the epic battle. At one point, a hobbit lights beacons in order to recruit allies into the battle. This simple but powerful act is why we can consider hobbits to be a little like helper T-cells. Helper T-cells also send out signals, small molecules in this case, to other immune cells in order to get them involved in the fight against disease-causing microbes. Lastly, there is a white wizard named Gandalf, a special fellow who focuses most of his energy on the biggest bad guys, the Ringwraiths. Gandalf symbolizes eosinophils, special cells whose job it is to target and kill parasites in the body. So hopefully this analogy helped you to understand a little better the complex molecules and cells involved in keeping you healthy. The next time you get sick, you can imagine this type of sophisticated army in the midst of a great battle against evil invaders.